Hi there, it's Matt here, and welcome back to the podcast. And this second in a longer series all about exercise and sleep. Now, to refresh my memory more than yours, in this series, we are addressing essentially three big picture questions. Number one, does exercise change your sleep? Number two, does the intensity or the type or even the duration of exercise matter when it comes to that improvement in sleep? And finally, number three, does when you exercise during the day or even in the evening make a difference to that sleep benefit? Now, in the prior episode and also in this episode, we're going to be focused on that first question. Does exercise improve your sleep? And in that last episode, we learned that, at least at the large-scale epidemiological level, people who exercise typically are those who sleep better. And more specifically, they fall asleep faster, they stay asleep more soundly, and they also wake up feeling more refreshed and restored the next day. Oh, and I should also say that they are less likely to suffer from insomnia or have symptoms of insomnia. Today's episode is still focused on that question of how exercise can change your sleep at night. But today, we're going to go deeper. And we're going to ask, does activity or does exercise during the day not only change the big picture of your sleep, but does it change the very stages of sleep and the different types of sleep that you have at night? And does it even change the electrical quality of your brainwave activity at night? And here we're going to be targeting those big, powerful, those sort of luscious brainwaves of deep non-REM sleep. And to refresh your memory, I've at least got this in mind, to remind you, that deep sleep and those deep sleep electrical brainwaves we know are critical for a whole host of different functions. They are essential for solidifying new memories so that you don't forget. Deep sleep also helps reduce anxiety. It stimulates your immune system. It also lowers your blood pressure. It regulates your appetite. And it also manages your blood sugar. Therefore, desirous is anything that can increase deep sleep, including those deep sleep brainwaves. Exercise, it turns out, being one of them. And this is especially true when we speak about certain age groups. So let's take a reverse walk down the lifespan scale, and we'll start at old age, and we'll work our way backwards. A wonderfully salient exemplar is a study that comes from a dear colleague and a good friend of mine, Dr. Phyllis Zee. And the participants in the study were older adults, and their ages ranged from 65 years old all the way up to 92 years old. Keep in mind that older adults will inherently have a really very difficult time, a hard time in generating anywhere close to the same amount of deep non-REM sleep as their young, spry adult self or even other young adults. And the study went as follows. The elderly participants all completed a baseline night of sleep recording in the laboratory, and that's without any prior exercise. Then they were split into one of two different sessions, either an exercise session during the following day or a non-exercise session during the following day. And after the exercise or the no exercise sessions during that following day, then that subsequent evening, they once more had their sleep recorded in the laboratory that following night. And then the researchers compared any changes in their sleep for each one of those individuals, either following exercise or following no exercise, relative to their very own baseline night of sleep. And this is important. In this way, everyone acts as their own baseline sort of placebo control, as it were, and it's a very important part of the study. A sponsor of today's show is Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker is a service, and they come to your home, as they do for me, and they will analyze your blood and your DNA to know precisely what is happening inside of you regarding a host of different blood and metabolic and hormonal health metrics. What I also like is that in addition to the results, they then provide you with a personalized set of recommended, I guess, sort of lifestyle changes and suggestions to better optimize your health as a consequence of what those results were for you, that unique snowflake. So you can use the link insidetracker.com/Matt Walker, and you will get a healthy discount from your purchase. So again, that is insidetracker.com/Matt Walker. And as for the physical activity regimen during those exercise session days, the elderly, both men and women, I should note, performed a nice, light 20-minute session of walking, and then that was followed by some very basic upper and lower body exercises on the spot. And they did this wee stint of exercise both in the morning and then again in the early evening. So all in all, I think we would classify that as, you know, it's a fairly modest day of physical activity. Certainly nothing extreme to the point where those older adults are sweating so much that their tattoos are sliding off. Nothing quite of that kind. We can, however, be rather immodest about the benefits that happened in terms of sleep. Because on average, the relative amount of deep non-REM sleep that those older adults got following a day with exercise shot up by over 40% relative to their very own baseline control night. And in the no exercise condition, there was no significant relative change compared to their own baseline night of sleep. Then you could say, well, that's all fine and great, Matt, but does it matter? Did that increase in deep sleep do anything meaningful for those older adults? Or was it just epiphenomenal that it didn't really matter? And let me pause again and impress the fact that upstairs in the brain, we know that deep non-REM sleep enhances learning and memory function. So we would expect, or at least we would hypothesize, that any increase in deep non-REM sleep should result in meaningful cognitive improvements the following day. And so it did. Because after that night of exercise-boosted deep sleep, the researchers had those individuals conduct a set of next day standard psychological assessments of things like memory and intelligence. And combined across these measures, what they found is that the cognitive functioning of those elderly adults was significantly sharper and superior the following day after that night of exercise-enhanced deep sleep. Now, is exercise-induced sleep enhancement a new smart drug for the elderly? I think that's, you know, a somewhat hyperbolic statement in truth, and it's a claim that really is far from proven yet, but I still think it stands as at least a parsimonious hypothesis nonetheless. So that's older adults. Now let's shift in the lifespan focus down to young, healthy adults. And here, the story is equally positive. And there's also a footnote. What we found is that exercise in young, healthy adults once again stimulates a lush increase in the amount of deep, non-REM, slow brainwave activity. In fact, you can see an increase of up to 50% of baseline maximal intensity levels in the first part of the night. But here's the difference relative to older adults. Because for young adults, that exercise has to be more vigorous for us to observe the sleep improvement. And what we found is that young adults, if they do light or just moderate exercise, we typically don't see the same sizable enhancement of deep non-REM sleep. But if you make that exercise strenuous, then we consistently see a substantive and a reliable increase in deep non-REM sleep relative to non-exercise days. So that's young adults. Let's go back even further in the lifespan. How about teenagers? Well, if we have teenagers perform high-intensity workouts, and let me be more concrete, by the way, when I'm talking about sort of strenuous or high-intensity workouts. Here, for these cohorts, I'll be concrete. We're talking about intensity levels that are at or above 85% of their maximum heart rate. So really quite high intensity workouts. And when you have them do that type of a workout, you get a very nice sleep stage exchange for your hard work that following night relative to non-exercise days. And more specifically, what you find is that after those high intensity workout days, those teenagers will trade in shallow non-REM sleep for a significant increase in deep non-REM sleep. Righty-ho, coming back to the big picture of exercise and sleep, I mentioned at the start of this podcast series that the news is overall very positive, very much in the affirmative, with a wee dash, a little spritz of, well, I wouldn't say caution, but rather scientifically fascinating difference, which is the following. Although exercise will have you sleeping more, it will gift you sleep of significantly higher quality, it will have you falling asleep faster, and it will increase the amount of deep non-REM sleep that you get, REM sleep is a slightly different story. Because when we look across all studies of acute exercise, and here we're coming back to that large-scale approach of a meta-analysis where we gather together all of the studies, what we see is that in the large majority of those studies, but not all of them, there is a modest but reliable decrease in the amount of REM sleep the following night. Now, for a sleep scientist like myself, in some ways, this is no surprise. It turns out that deep non-REM sleep and REM sleep have some degree of partial, but by no means full reciprocity, such that if you drive one of them up, it can come at the reduction of the other. And that's what we are seemingly observing here in terms of the non-REM sleep benefit and the sort of the push-pull with REM sleep. Now, why that reduction in REM sleep happens? Now, that's with acute exercise, by the way, and I'll come back to that point in a second. Why this happens with a dose of acute one-shot exercise and what the consequences are, if any at all, remains unexplored. And without those answers, you know, it's hard for me to raise strong concerns about it or conversely quash any concerns about it. But I do have a hypothesis that is still not tested. In many of these well-conducted experimental studies, the total amount of time in bed is often fixed and therefore forced to be the same across different groups and across different participants. My suspicion is that after those sessions of acute intense exercise, if you left individuals to sleep as much as they wanted, they would not only sleep a little bit longer, but in sleeping longer, they would then get the same amount of REM sleep as is normal, or perhaps even more REM sleep. Yet another study on my to-do list. This podcast is supported by Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is a comprehensive nutritional drink, and it contains countless different health components. Let me stop there. I say countless. I actually know the company pretty well, and I know how the product is made. And I believe at last count, it's over 75 different vitamins and minerals and probiotics, prebiotics, and other whole food source nutrients. And you consume it every day. And I do drink Athletic Greens. And for the record, I buy my own supply because of all of the obvious sort of integrity trappings that come with free product. And I just don't want to get into that. So as I said, I know the company really quite well, including their stellar CEO. And I trust their creation and their manufacturing procedures. They've got all of the correct stamps, things like TGA and GMP stamps. Basically, they're rigorous. So anyway, if you are mindful of your health, then you may want to check them out at the link, which is athleticgreens.com/Matt Walker. And if you use that link, you'll get some money off your first order and also some free travel packs. So that's athleticgreens.com/Matt Walker. Before drawing things to a close for this episode, some of you will be asking the following question. Look, Matt, so far you've described what happens to sleep following one single acute dose of exercise. However, that's not how most of us exercise. People who are physically active are usually consistently physically active. On the regular, as it were. And by regular, we're typically talking about several days each week or more, consistently week after week. So, Matthew, is regular exercise still effective for maintaining and improving good sleep, even if that exercise is regular? Or is regular exercise like certain drugs, for example, such that they gradually wear off and wane over time in terms of their potency unless you keep upping and upping and upping the dose? Well, when it comes to exercise and sleep, thankfully, no. In general, what we found is that regular, consistent exercise still benefits sleep, and we don't see sleep getting worse or fading in terms of those improvements. Indeed, if we once again return to that meta-analysis approach where we're gathering together and aggregating all of the studies so far, what that teaches us is that engaging in regular exercise rather than just looking at a one-shot acute dose of exercise, regular exercise, including strict regular exercise regimented programs in laboratory studies, we see the following four reliable benefits to sleep, and those benefits persist. First, what we find is that regular exercise, and this is, again, be concrete, Matthew, I'm defining regular as several days a week and lasting for several months or more. That type of a consistent exercise regimen firstly will improve the efficiency of someone's sleep long term, which means that those people who are regular exercisers will more regularly spend less time awake at night and more time asleep. Second, those who are regular exercisers will generate overall greater total amounts of sleep. Third, those people who are consistent exercisers will consistently and persistently fall asleep faster. And fourth, what we found is that people who are regular exercisers, themselves, the individuals themselves, they know it. And what I mean is that if you ask those individuals the next day how they felt that they slept the night before, and you do that sort of night after night after night, what you find is that regular exercisers will consistently and again reliably report having either great sleep or at least good sleep, while those who are consistently not exercising will more consistently report having sleep that is unsatisfactory night after night after night. Well, ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, that rounds out the fundamental first of our three questions, which is whether or not exercise improves the quantity and the quality of your sleep. Yes and yes. Oh, the short take-homes. I could have made those two podcast episodes so much shorter. Does exercise improve the quantity of your sleep? Yes. I'll see you in the next episode. Hi there. Does exercise improve the quality of your sleep? Yes. Take care. I'll see you in the next episode. But anyway, yes and yes is the short take-home message here, statistically so. And those nice exercise benefits don't gradually wear off. If you keep nourishing your sleep with regular exercise, you continue to get those regular benefits. However, none of what I've described in either of the past two episodes tells you anything about whether the duration, or even the type, or even the intensity of exercise makes any difference when it comes to those sleep benefits. This I will address in the next episode of this hopefully not too exhausting series all about exercise and sleep. For now, I will simply say goodbye. It's been a delight chatting with you, and I will see you next time. Take care.